Now, as a church family, we believe God calls us to live generously. He calls us to use our time, our talents, and our resources to bless and serve others. So we are always looking for ways and celebrating ways that we've seen God at work through generosity. And this morning, we have a gift of having a guest speaker who is coming to share a little bit about his life that he lives of radical generosity. Now, I'm sure he would not say it that way, but we can see it. As he followed God's calling to go serve children in Ukraine. Now, God is a big God, so God didn't call him to serve children in Ukraine after the war. But in 2003, he began his ministry. God knew of the unique needs that were coming. So since 2003, Sean Johnson has served. He began serving, just meeting the needs of street children in Ukraine. And then as God resourced him and brought people around him, he was able to open up three different children's homes that support children who have been abused and neglected. So this morning, we have a privilege to not only hear from his generosity, but also to partner along with him in his generosity as he shares different ways that his ministry could use our help. But right now, I'd love it if you'd turn your attention to this video on Sean and his ministry, House of James.
Church. I'm excited to be here this morning and share with you what's going on with House of James. For those who don't know who House of James is, we are a child refuge in the country of Ukraine, and we seek to rescue the abandoned, abused children and then restore them through the love of Jesus Christ through one of our Christ-based family homes. And to really get a great understanding of who we are and how it got started, I always love to share my personal testimony, how I came to Christ and the ministry all at the same time. Born and raised right here in Phoenix, Arizona. Matter of fact, a couple miles down the street from here, my father was a pastor of a small church during my teen years. And during that time, my brother Todd became the associate pastor. My brother Chad, he became the youth pastor. And then my sister ran Sunday school. And then my mom was in charge of nursery. And I was the youngest of four, and I was involved in absolutely nothing. That was my role. As a matter of fact, I was actually going a whole different direction. As my family was serving God and getting closer to him, I decided to go a different direction. And at the very young age of 13, 14, I started smoking marijuana. I got kicked out of a few schools. Age 16, 17, I started drinking. By the age of 18, 19, I was really considered an alcoholic, believe it or not, at such a young age. 19, I ended up in jail for alcohol-related things. Had alcohol poisoning quite a few times, been shot at quite a few times, survived all those. And you think going through those things, I'd be like, God, okay, I'm turning my life around. But for some reason, I just kept going down that destructive path. Age 21, things got a little worse. I started doing cocaine on top of my everyday drinking. And I was living that life for the next couple years. And by the age of 23, sounds cliche and all, but I hit rock bottom, right? What happens when you abuse drugs and alcohol for so long? Depression takes over and rock bottom hits. And so I remember reaching out to my father, not because he's a man of God, but because my father was a drug addict, alcoholic in his early 20s. And so, of course, his advice was what? Church, God, that's the answer. Well, during that time, I had nothing to do with God, church, or any of that. I had a lot of anger for some reason. But my father and I had a great relationship growing up. We used to go to California, deep sea fishing. He was in a card baseball business, and so we'd do a bunch of card shows throughout the States and really had a tight relationship. And of course, that kind of faded due to my actions in my later years. So I reached out and said, hey, Dad, instead of this church thing you want to do, how about we go on a vacation like we used to go to California and just spend some time, get away from my friends, and just be a good time. He goes, you know, I have a better idea. He said, why don't we take a trip over to Russia and Ukraine? I'm like, well, I want to go to Russia and Ukraine. Number one, I didn't even know what Ukraine was at the time, you know? And he's like, well, hear me out. Since 1999, again, this was all in 2003, April of 2003, when I was talking to my father and trying to get my life straight. He said, since 1999 to up to this point, 2003, I've been going to Russia and Ukraine speaking at Bible colleges. It's actually a ministry reaching out to the Jewish people to find Christ. And he said, I'm going this March/April. Why don't you come with me? You know, I said, you know what? What an experience this will be. I'll go across the country, get away from my friends, get sobered up, spend some time with my father. This sounds like a great idea. So we did this. We head to Russia. 1 week we're going to be in Russia. My dad's going to be speaking at a Bible college there. I think it was a couple days into the trip. I'm finally getting over the jet lag, and I sit in one of the classes. And afterwards, the director of the school invited my father and I to come over and have dinner with him and his family. So I thought it was kind of cool, see how the Russian people live and things like that. Well, we get up to this place. I'm trying to paint a picture of what this looks like. It's a 5-story building, very pre-World War II, so it's very old, cracks, even bullet holes in it. And you walk in, there's no elevator. They lived on the 3rd floor. And when you walk into this place, it was very cold, damp, no furniture, and it was just 2 rooms. Not like 2 bedrooms, you know, and a family room and all that. It was just literally just 2 rooms. So you had like a room with like a stove top, and then the other room had like a couch and some bunk beds in it. Well, there was 5 kids living in this place, from 6 months all the way to 15 years old. And then you had the mom and dad. And when the kids walked in, they're scrawny, pale white. You can totally tell they're lacking nutrition. These people are dirt poor. So what they put in front of us for dinner was a handful of white rice and a pickle. That was it. But you know what? It really kind of touched me because I'm going, these people have absolutely nothing, but they're willing to share what little they had with me, my father. That really touched me. And while we're eating, though, I notice the kids are laughing, having a good time, smiling. The parents have this glow coming out of them. And I remember looking over at my dad and going, what in the world is wrong with these people? Like, what do they have to be happy about? Because here in my life, I had a great job working at Phoenix Children's Hospital. I had my own place. You know, I had my toys, my cars. But I was completely miserable inside. And these people have nothing, but they have everything. You know, it didn't compete with me. And my dad just kind of whispered to me, he said, Sean, it's something your mother and I have been trying to show you for all these years. It's the love of Jesus Christ. So I kind of look back at the kids, at the parents, and again, I see this glow coming out of them, and for the first time, I see God living through these people. It's kind of embarrassing because I started crying right then and there at the dinner table. They don't speak English. They have no idea what's going on. So they start pushing rice and pickles my way, like, that's going to solve the problem. Fortunately, we had a translator nearby, and I shared with them what I just shared with you guys, the struggle in my life, and I just said to them, I want what you guys have. In the world's eyes, they have nothing, but we know with the love of Christ, it's all you need. And so right then and there, I gave my life to Christ. My dad put his hands around me, led me to prayer. The kids, too, the little kids were there praying with me. And afterwards, I'm still crying. Now my dad's crying, which is no shocker because he cries over MasterCard commercials and like Oprah specials, real emotional guy. But anyways, we get back to our hotel that night, and I just felt something overpowering, something I haven't felt in a long time. I just couldn't grasp what it was. But I realized the moment that I accepted Christ, all my addictions were completely delivered at that moment. Yeah, amazing. Amazing. And so you can imagine what I was feeling those days, right? I'm excited, I'm on fire. And so another few days left at the Bible college, so I'm sitting in the classes, you know, growing in God, learning for the first time in my life, actually listening to my dad, right? And it was an amazing time. But our time finished there in Russia, and now we got to head to Ukraine, southern part, Odessa, it's off the Black Sea. And this took us over like 40 hours to get there. And again, another week there, Bible colleges, my dad's teaching at, and I'm sitting in those classes, of course, learning and things. And a couple of times we'd go out and have dinner. Well, one night I notice a bunch of kids running around, asking for money and things like that. I'm going, hey, you know what? When I was like 13, I used to do that for cigarette money. I kind of know what they're doing, right? Well, come to find out, they're street kids. We're talking 8, 9 years old. And I asked the host that was taking care of us there in Ukraine, I said, what's going on with these kids? He goes, well, come to find out, over 2 million kids were living on the streets or living in some type of abandoned situation or basically surviving on their own. I mean, a massive number, right? And I remember that just hitting me like, wow. And later on that night, I was trying to get some sleep, but I couldn't stop thinking about these kids. Well, the next morning, I wake up from the lack of sleep that I got, came up to my father, said, Dad, I feel like God wants me to do something for these children. He goes, what are you thinking? I said, I don't know. And he's like, well, just pray God will lead you. So yeah, I was praying, getting to know God, learning his word, going to classes. It was a great time. But now it's time for us to go back to Phoenix, Arizona. And it was about a 10-hour flight. I remember getting on that plane and just kind of feeling sad, depressed, because I'm going, I felt like God wanted me to do something. I felt like I was leaving something behind, right? And so I think we're about 5 hours into our 10-hour flight, and I was watching this movie. Because back then, you know, you only had one screen or a couple screens throughout the planes. Like nowadays, you have your own screen. You can choose like 30 movies. During this time, you just had the one movie, and they played over and over and over. And I can't sleep on planes. I was watching this movie for the second time. It was a horrible movie. I just can't sleep on planes. But I just remember God saying, put down your headphones and pick up your Bible. Now, you got to remember, up to this point, except for the last couple weeks, I really don't know where to look in the Bible for answers because I've just been neglecting God all these years. So I did one of these things where you open the Bible and you go, God, speak to me. And you put your finger down. It works. You got to try it out. It's amazing. I opened up to James 1:27. Religion that our God finds pure and false is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Man, did that hit me. Take care of the kids. I knew I got to build a home for these kids. Keep yourself being polluted from the world. Stay away from the drugs and the craziness of that life I was living all those years. So excited. My dad, I think it was like a couple of aisles behind me. I remember walking up to him. Hey, Dad, he was sound asleep. Dad, wake up. He's like, what? I said, I'm moving to Ukraine. He goes, what? Moving to Ukraine. He goes, all right. Goes right back to sleep. I don't know how the guy does it. He's, to this day, it's crazy. But we get back into Phoenix, and he's just like, are you serious? And he saw in my face. I said, this is it. And my dad's excited, right? He's finding something changing in my life. And he even said to me, Sean, I knew if I brought you here, something was going to happen. So I'm very thankful for my dad's obedience to God and taking me. But we get back to Arizona, and then my dad calls a family meeting to my brothers and my sister and my mom. Everybody, hey, got a family meeting about Sean. And they're like, oh, great. What did this guy do? There we go. But then I just kind of shared my experience with this family that ministered to me and then how I prayed and accepted Christ and then my addictions were delivered and that I'm changing my life. And of course, they've heard this millions of times, but this time they think they believed it. And then I said, I'm moving to Ukraine. And then my sister, we've always been close, and she just had this massive smile on her face. I know she's happy that I'm sober and getting my life straight, but I think she's happy the fact that I'm moving thousands and thousands of miles away. She don't have to deal with her little brother's mess anymore. So sure enough, I raised up some money, I paid off some debts, and this again in 2003, that was in March, April, and then in July of 2003, I moved to Ukraine, didn't know a soul, and God started the work. It was challenging, I went through a lot of challenges, but God opened up some doors, and by the year of 2006, we opened up our first home that I was able to build, and we rescued in 10 children in that home. And I thought that was it. I did my job. Okay, God, I'm donezo. I'm ready to go back to Arizona. This was about 2008, 2007, and I was saying, I'm going to go back, start a business with my friend. And then before, like a couple weeks, I was planning to do all this, some people that were helping me, some of the workers at the first home came up and said, we want to do a home too. We want to be house parents. We want to take care of it. I'm like, man, I got halfway out the door heading to America. What are you doing to me here? They're like, we'll pray about it. Well, I did, and I'm telling you, I maybe prayed about 10 minutes, and God said, you need to stay. And the beauty of that is, if I would have went back to the States 2008, we all knew what happened, right? The crisis hit. I would have totally lost the business I would have invested into. That would have been completely gone. Another wonderful thing is, if I didn't stay, I never would have met my beautiful wife, Natasha, that is here today with me. Yeah. They're just clapping, congratulating you. You have such a husband. That's amazing. So, but from that, of course, then I had my son Samuel and our beautiful baby Sophia was just born a couple years ago. What a blessing God has blessed me through that. Well, again, I thought I was done. I did House of James 2. All right, rescued 10 kids in there. I'm done. This was like towards 2009, 2010, just when I got married. And I remember telling my wife, I said, I'm done. I don't think I'm going to do any more homes. And I go, except if somebody has a house in place, maybe needs a lot of work done, and they've rescued at least one child on their own. You know, I'm putting restrictions on God, right? Well, it was like a week or so after I said that, I get a phone call. This guy said, hey, my name's Koya. I know such and such. I know the house parents at your first and second homes. We are wanting to do a home to rescue kids. And I heard this is what you do. I'm like, well, hold on. I have some stuff that I'm not really ready to do a second home or a third home. And he goes, well, hear me out. I'm like, okay. It's like, I'll listen. He goes, we just got a house donated to us. Needs a lot of work. And we just rescued our first child. I'm like, God, what are you doing to me, man? So obviously, I didn't even really pray about that because I knew I was supposed to do it. So we decided to stay. We started House of James 3. And then in 2011, we rescued our first 10 kids in there. And what amazing blessing God has done. And this all started in 2003. So we're celebrating 21 years of ministry. And we have a video we're going to show you here in about 30 seconds. It's going to show you where we kind of started, what we've gone through the last 20 years, and where we are today. And then afterwards, I'm going to come back up, give you guys some updates and some prayer requests. But if you can hit that video, I'd appreciate it.
Пацаны, короче, был, ну, вот какой-то дом там, да, где бы вы все могли жить, только в теплом месте, чтобы вас там кормили, короче, чтобы вы там могли спать нормально. Хотели бы там?
Да.
Yeah, they'll say yeah. Да.
Hours ago, Russian forces began their attack. Kyiv might soon fall to Russian forces.
The Russians will take control of Kyiv
within 24 hours.
The Russian force is so much larger than the Ukrainian one.
It's not a question of if Russia takes the capital, it's a question of when.
Я залишаюсь у столиці.
Can the Ukrainian people stand up?
Ну, максимум 3-4 дні.
This is day 6.
On the 10th day. Day 22.
Day 33.
78.
Kiev is still standing strong.
For nearly two decades, an Arizona man has called Ukraine home, running a nonprofit providing shelter and purpose for kids living on the streets.
First at 4, Team 12's Josh Sanders spoke with Sean Johnson, who evacuated to Poland just days before Russia invaded and is still trying to get family members and kids to safety.
Our father that finds pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
It's that Bible passage that's given Phoenix native Sean Johnson purpose for nearly two decades, more than 6,300 miles from his hometown. He founded House of James Ministries after traveling to Ukraine on a missions trip in 2003.
An Arizona man trying to help children in war-ravaged Ukraine. This man opened up several homes for abused kids nearly two decades ago.
And many of those children, at least right now, can't make it out of Ukraine. Fox 10's Irene Snyder has this story.
As war rages in Ukraine, Arizona-born Sean Johnson forced to leave his home in Vinnytsia, a city in west-central Ukraine. He's keeping his family safe in Poland. Johnson says he moved to Ukraine 19 years ago to open children's homes.
God was pulling my heart, and so I sold everything I owned, moved to Ukraine in July of 2003, and I started building homes for children who were abused and abandoned.
Some of those children have also evacuated from Ukraine. Others, especially the older boys, have not been able to leave the homes located outside the city.
Founder of House of James joins us now. Good morning to you, Sean. We understand that you and your foster homes have been greatly impacted by this war. Tell us how.
Yeah, well, obviously, with the war, it's been hard to get groceries and things like that, and fuel's been an issue. Excuse me. My family and I evacuated February 15th before the war happened, and one of our homes was able to evacuate like a week after the war started.
How did you manage to escape?
Well, so I kept getting phone calls from the State Department and telling us there's an imminent invasion. We suggest that you leave. We really didn't think it was going to happen, so my family kept on writing me from the States, saying, leave, leave. And so I figured we'd just take a two-week vacation to Poland. We have return tickets for March 3rd, and so we left just to be cautious, and then February 24th, the invasion happened.
Wow, and your wife's parents, your in-laws, they live in Mariupol, and they're still there. How are they doing?
Yeah, so they've been in their cellar for 20-something days now, since March 2nd. We lost contact. We didn't have contact for 21 days until 2 days ago. We got a phone call from my mother-in-law. She was able to get up in the attic. She had a very bad phone signal, but she was able to call. And she just let us know, we're alive, but we can't leave. Literally, there's bombing and shelling right outside our window. And so they went back in their cellar, and we haven't heard from them in the last 2 days.
Scary stuff. How much worse do you fear the orphan situation in Ukraine will get once this war is eventually over?
Yeah, I mean, millions of people have been misplaced, obviously, and, you know, we want to be ready to help all the children that are going to need help. It's hard to predict what's going to happen.
Frightening stuff. Sean Johnson, thank you for what you do. We appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck.
О, видишь, как только зашло?
А, это вышло.
Ушло.
Угу.
Зашло.
От нас, да?
Это зашло, брат.
Можно пару штук?
Hey guys, appreciate the continued prayers. For those who saw my live video, I asked you to pray that we can get through those muddy roads. What we did, we're finally unloading our last load of humanitarian aid,
food and hygiene products to the people living here on the front lines. Right now it's a little quiet. It wasn't about 10 minutes ago, but right now we're able to calmly pass out the aid. I don't know if you heard that in the background, but that was artillery being launched from our side. So we're okay for now. Thanks, guys, for the continued prayers. These people are very grateful for the help, and we'll have more updates to come. So this lady's house was hit by Russian rocket fire. Just completely gone. She's here telling us about it. There she is, showing us. You know, she's crying and just telling us what's going on. It's hard to grasp all this. As you noticed during that video, some of the interviews I had with the news outlets, which I'm not a big fan of those news outlets, but was very grateful that they did contact me and did give us exposure that we needed. They talked about how I left Ukraine just a week before the war started because the embassy kept telling us, leave, leave, leave. And so we did that. We were not sure what we were going to do. We had the chance to come to the States when the war actually started, and we didn't want to leave because we wanted to be close to Ukraine for our homes, and we knew millions of people were going to be just coming through Poland, running out of Ukraine, so we wanted to be there to help them. And so within the next 3 or 4 months, I was making aid runs within Ukraine. So I'd leave 3 or 4 days to get into the country, and then I would take a week to get the front lines and hand out stuff and helping out families and children that literally could not leave those areas because of financial reasons or whatever. And so I was doing that a lot, right, for a lot of few weeks. And so I was leaving my family for at least weeks at a time, and they're in Poland in a foreign country, you know, and a lot of stress was happening with that. So a lot of people are wondering, why would you bring your family back into a war zone? Well, my wife was very pregnant at the time, and we really wanted the baby to be born in Ukraine. And we felt it was safe enough to go back to our city where our home was, which is Vinnytsia, which is in the center of Ukraine, because it really hasn't seen much action, hundreds of miles from the front lines. And I wanted to continue the ministry of what I was doing, helping the people on the front lines, because we did over 20 trips. And our homes were there too, right? One of them did evacuate the Czech Republic, and they're still there to this day. And so we made the decision to go back. And the day we got back into Ukraine, moved in, the next morning, actually, my wife went into labor. And the crazy thing about that, my friend wasn't supposed to pick us up a day later, but he came in early for some reason. It was really weird, miscommunications, like, I guess we'll gotta go. Good thing he came early, because if he didn't, we would have the baby at passport control or something crazy like that. But it was God's hands was upon, it was amazing. But a week after having the baby, we were waiting outside a building to get her birth certificate, and that's where 3 missiles hit within 30 yards of us. Dozens of people were killed, including children. And crazy story was, before that all happened, when we were pulling up to that area, my wife's like, hey, just park right there. I'm like, that's not a parking spot. She's like, just park right there. I'm like, usually you have to go around this other part, and there's a parking area where you usually park. I was like, okay, I guess we will. We'll come to find out one of those missiles actually hit in that parking area where our car would have been. So that would have been toast, and we wouldn't be able to escape so fast as we did. Another crazy part of this, too, while we're waiting in line for the missiles hit, I wanted to get a drink of water. And I know this place I usually go to around this building, and it just kills some time to walk around, because I knew we were going to wait a while. But my wife said, just go across the street. There's water right there. I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to kill time, though, over here. But she'll just go across the street. And I did. It's all right. It was a lot faster. I get back. Well, come to find out, if I would have went the way I wanted to go, I would have been toast. I would not be here today. So moral of the story, always listen to your wife. She saved my life. But for real, though, just God's been blessing me. He's been protecting us. It's been amazing what God has done. Just like to throw some things out. One of our boys from House of James, our first home, Denise, he's been fighting on the front lines since day one. He got injured a month ago. He was hit by some mines or something like that. Bad foot injury, but messed up his back. And so we were able to raise funds, and he had his back surgery, so he's recovering now. His name's Denise, so pray for recovery. And I'm sure once he's recovered, he's going to hit the front lines again, just who he is. A lot of success has gone with House of James. Amazing things. I saw the intro video, if you notice, the girl Vika, we rescued her at a young age. Her parents died of alcoholism. She was left behind, lived in horrible conditions. She was the first person we ever rescued in. And then you saw that she finished university, got married, has her own family. Just amazing things. That's not a lot of success stories just like that. Another girl, Luda, that I just brag on. She's my favorite. I shouldn't have favorites, I know, but she's my favorite. We rescued her when she was like 6 years old. She came to us with really trembling hands because she witnessed her uncle kill his own kid. And she later had to go testify like 7 years old or something like that. And so when we came to us, she was shaking. And she was born with alcohol fetal syndrome. So she had a lot of challenges, but within 6 months of living in House of James and the prayer and the love we gave her, her shakes completely went away. And she was, told that she's never going to do well in school, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? 3 months ago, she just graduated university. Yeah, amazing what God's doing. She's currently in Switzerland right now trying to start a new life. And this story goes for so many of our kids. One of our girls, Leela, she was 18 years old. She was a kickboxer. Champion of all of Europe. We have a girl that was 7 years old. She took second place of violin in all of Ukraine. Our boys, that everybody that's graduated through House of James, that went through our program, are now married, working, have kids. None of them are drug addicts or in prison. Just amazing what God has done through the support of people like you. Just amazing what God has done through House of James. And another thing I wanted to bring up, when the war first started, We weren't sure what we were going to do. Like, people were saying, come back to the States, but we wanted to stay close to Ukraine to help our homes and the people that were leaving. But the problem was millions of people were coming into Ukraine, right? So the demand of rentals went to skyrocketed. And we were trying to find a home where we can live and stay in Poland, but allow me to go into Ukraine and be based there and stuff. And financially, we were strapped, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And at that time, your pastor, Caleb, reached out to me. And said, how can, as a church, we help you? I said, we need finances to rent a home for the next 5 months so I can continue to do the ministry and not have to leave and go back to the States. I don't know, within a week or two, we get a check from you guys that completely covered that cost. So I just want to thank you guys. Amazing what you guys have done. So just support like that we've gone through. Just some things I want to throw out there, some needs that we have. House James 2, our second home, is still in the Czech Republic. They are getting free housing, but it's probably not going to last that long, so we're going to have a need to rent them a place. Who knows, might have to buy them a place. We don't know when this war is going to end. Our two of our homes are still in Ukraine. They feel safe. They don't want to leave. So inflation's been bad here, I know, but in Ukraine, it's even worse. We've had things go up 100%, 200% because of the war. So we went from running our ministry at $120,000. Now it's $250,000 a year. It's doubled. So I just ask you guys to pray that God opens the right doors. I'm working on some things here in Arizona, hoping to create money for my family and for the ministry. I pray that Lord opens those doors. I encourage you guys to look up houseofjames.org. It's our website. There's a lot of other cool videos on there, like the day-to-day lives of the kids before the war, some really interesting stuff, and a little better understanding of the ministry. Also, look me up on Facebook. It's a good way to keep updates. Sean Johnson, just look me up, be my friend. It's the best way to keep up to date. Again, I appreciate you guys having me here, and just very blessed. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this back over to Amy. Thank you for your time. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sean, we are just so appreciative of the work that you're doing and just taking your time to share with us. If it's all right with you, we'd love to close out with a prayer of blessing over you.
Yes.
Would you join me as we pray for Sean and his ministry? Oh, Lord God, man, we are just blown away how you continue to bring restoration out of those you have restored. Lord God, we just praise you for delivering Sean from his addiction all those years ago and for helping him to begin this amazing ministry of support. Lord God, we thank you for the work you are doing in and through Sean and the House of James ministry. And we thank you for stirring our hearts today and helping us to see the reality of the loss and the struggle that so many are experiencing in Ukraine. God, we stand in awe of the way that you continue to provide. God, thank you for calling Sean and his family to this ministry and for giving them the strength to be your ambassadors of love and hope to so many children. We pray that you would continue to bless and protect Sean and all those serving and living in the homes that House of James provides. Lord, guide us to know how we can support them in this ministry, whether through prayers or the gifts and resources that you have entrusted to us. God, it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you again.